If you leave your house and you leave your cell phone there at your house, chances are you'll turn around and go back and get it. Is that about right? Does that sound fair? Chances are if you leave your cell phone at the house, chances are you'll turn around and go get it, right? All right, there you go. And that's what so many people do when we think about our cell phones. You know what? I left the house. I have to go back and get it. Maybe I'll be late on my job, late for church, whatever the situation is. My cell phone is very important to me. It just blows my mind how important that is to so many people. When we think about this, you can leave your home and realize that you've left your wallet. Maybe you're a purse. You get on down the road a little way and you're like, oh my goodness, I'll go back. You turn the car around, head right back and go get that. Pick that up because you don't want to be without your wallet. Isn't that about right? You left your wallet, you left your purse at home, and you get on down the road and you realize you don't have your wallet, you don't have your purse. Chances are you're going to go back and pick that up. Does that sound about right? There you go. You're in your vehicle. You found out you just left your house and you're going down the road and you look in the back seat and you discovered you left the kids at home. That's no big deal. Just keep going. They'll be there later in the afternoon. The reality is there's many things that we take priority on and many things that we protect, and we protect a great deal. Many things that we're very protective of. Cell phones are one of those items that we're protective of. Computers, another thing that we're protective of. Passwords are very, very important to people today, and they protect those. Our finances are another thing that we try to protect. We try to protect our family the very best we can by doing things today that will try to secure our future later down the road. When we talk about being protective in life, I want to ask you this question that applies to every one of us today. Just how protective are you today about your Christian life? The life that you are called to live for Jesus Christ, are you protecting it? Is it a priority to you just like your cell phone is? I hope it's more important than your cell phone, your password, your computer, your wallet, your purse. I hope it's more important than anything in your whole life, because if not, I assure you that it is a device that Satan is using to pull you away from following the righteousness of God and getting and maintaining your attention. We will turn around. We'll go back and retrieve many, many things that we leave behind. We don't want to leave any of these things behind, yet for so many people that's in our world today, many sadly are leaving Jesus behind, and they don't even feel persecuted by it. They don't even feel conviction by it. They don't have any intent to go back and to find out just where is it that you're leaving Jesus. Yes, you heard it correctly. Far too many people in our world today is leaving Jesus in the church building or at home where you spoke to him last. Many people speak to Jesus when they need Jesus. Does that sound about right? Many people will call upon Jesus Christ in prayer when they're up against or they find themselves in the midst of a storm, and all of a sudden they find that Jesus is extremely important to them, and oh, he is the backbone of my very existence and all of these things. And then yet when that storm ceases and the waves settle down, it seems that Jesus, all of a sudden people just walk away from Jesus. They just leave Jesus behind. Again, looking at our own life, where is Jesus this very moment? Where is he right now in your life? Did you leave Jesus at home today? Did you leave Jesus there at the doctor's office there at that last appointment when you were praying so diligently that the Lord will take you through this doctor's appointment? Did you leave Jesus in front of the judge's chamber when you were there in the courts for whatever situation were, and you're just praying like heck that God will see you through this situation? Did you leave Jesus at the finance company when you're trying to get things settled financially? Is that where you left Jesus? Oh, did you leave Jesus there maybe at a friend's house when you went over there to have prayer with them, but you haven't taken Jesus with you anywhere else? Or perhaps he is here. Perhaps Jesus is here exactly where you left him from the last time that we met here. Sadly, that's what's going on in the lives of so many people today. We leave Jesus locked up in the building. Do you believe that's possible? We come in here on Sunday morning, you know what, and we celebrate the love of God, and we celebrate what Christ Jesus has done for us, and we come here to worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. But I often wonder, not from a judgmental standpoint, but I often wonder, are we doing that? Are we just coming in here and worshiping God, and then we leave and we lock the door behind us and Jesus is still in here? Are we taking him home with us that afternoon? Are we taking him to our places of employment? Are we taking him everywhere we go? Is Jesus part of every single bit of your life and mine? We all know folks, sadly, that have left Jesus and left him completely. Many people that have just totally walked away from Jesus Christ, but when they're in dire need or a situation comes up that's way above what they believe they can handle, then all of a sudden, Jesus is needed a quick, and then, you know, you're right back very close to the Lord once again. It reminds me of what we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, if you don't mind, go there with me. Revelation 2, we're going to look at 1 through 5. And I hope and pray today that we are not like, individually like, the church at Ephesus. And it's the church that is being told from the Lord himself that you have left your first love. You know, you claim your love for the Lord. We claim our love for Jesus Christ. We put into action what we believe that we're supposed to do. And then yet so many people still need to go back and visit the first principles. They need to go back and kind of feed, if I may, upon the milk of the word, because they've been choking on the meat. Amen. There's been so many people that have just fallen away. They've backed out. They've reversed themselves from knowing what the Bible tells them to do to going what is considered a feel-good religion. We see that in so many people today. We see it blasted all over the television. We see it in so many of these television, quote, air quote, evangelists, end of air quote, where it's just all about feel good. As long as it makes you feel good, everything is all right. Let me tell you something. I don't want my religion to feel good. Amen? I don't want my relationship with God to feel good. I want to feel comfortable in Christ. I want to feel confident in Christ. I want to know that I can stand on the very promises of Jesus Christ, but I don't want this feel-good religion. Jesus didn't feel good in his walk, did he? Jesus didn't feel good when he was up on that cruel cross at Calvary. Jesus didn't feel good when they was mocking him and making fun of him and stabbing him and doing all these different things and smacking him and doing all that. I don't want a feel-good religion. I want a relationship with Almighty God. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son, who I know for a fact that I can carry with me anywhere and everywhere I want to go. Does that make sense today? Anybody on this side? All right. So I want to make sure that we know, don't leave Jesus. In Revelation 2, 1 through 5, the Bible says, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? These things says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. I know your labor, your patience, that you can not bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be nothing more than what? Liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, says Jesus, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, the Lord says, I have this against you. Here's what you've done, church at Ephesus. You have left. Finish it up. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, watch this. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, the Bible says to repent. Do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly. I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent, unless you turn it back around and come back toward me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he's telling us the exact same thing today. If we don't have Christ Jesus with us everywhere and in every part of what we do in this life, repent of it. Amen? Repent of it. Get things right with Jesus, because he will, just we see right here, what he will do to you and me. The church at Ephesus is not alone in that situation. I promise you it's not. There's a great number of congregations in the Lord's churches today that have left their first love. So many that have left Jesus and made church about themselves individually. In our lives individually, let you and I be certain, brothers and sisters, that we don't leave Jesus, that we don't leave him behind. Be certain that we carry Jesus everywhere that we can go, and that he is always part of our decision-making process, part of the recreation that you and I are involved in, that he is with us on our jobs, that we are representing Christ, that we are ambassadors of God no matter where we're at, that he is in our relationships, our marital relationships, our relationships with our friends, our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Make sure that Jesus is in that. Make sure that Jesus himself is in charge of our finances. Jesus, listen to this, Just make sure that Jesus is your captain. Amen? Make sure he's your leader. Jesus is leading us. We are not to be trying to lead him. Jesus is the one. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father, say it like you mean it, except through me. We do know that there are those that will eventually turn away from Christ. Nothing we can do about that except just try to encourage. But there are those that will turn from Christ and not walk any longer with him. But I want to take you over to John chapter 6. Let's go visit it. John chapter 6, and we'll look at 64 through 66. John chapter 6, 64 through 66. The Bible says, but there are some of you who do not what? For Jesus knew from the very beginning, watch this, from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. 65, and he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him, finish it up, no more. So you see, we know even of long ago that there were those who professed their love for Jesus, those who say, yeah, I love the Lord, and yet in their journey in life, in their journey in their blessed life, they still turn and they walk with him, Larry, the Bible says, no more. That's a sad state of affairs. I hope and pray that as we look into our lives individually, that we're not like them. That we're not that one that comes to God when we need him, that comes to God only, let me clear that up, only when we need him, only when we find ourselves in a desperate, trying situation, and then when things settle down, oh, I think we can just handle it on our own. Don't leave Jesus behind. Say that with me. Don't leave Jesus behind. Very good. The first point I want us to examine this morning, as we talk about don't leave Jesus, I want us to all to know this, something we got to really consider. The Bible gives us this assurance as well. When one leaves Jesus, and listen, you need to understand that. When you turn your back on Jesus, when you walk away from the righteousness of God, when you walk away from Jesus and we leave him locked in the building, understand this. If you leave Jesus, you go back into bondage. Do you understand that? When you leave Jesus, you go back into bondage. Did y'all hear what I said? All right. So you are either with Christ or you're with, very good, you're with Satan, you're with the devil. One of those two. So if I turn and I'm with Jesus and I'm following Jesus Christ and everything is hunky-dory, you know, I'm wound up, tied up, bound up in the love of God, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I turn my back on the Lord, I'm no longer with the Lord, I'm now in bondage of sin again, aren't I? And sin wants to hold you captive. Sin wants, and it desires so strongly to put you into sin's prison, and the devil is the warden. And I assure you, it's going to be hard to get out. But Jesus is still going to be there with his arms wide open, but he's not going to let you make a mockery out of him. Do you understand that? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:26, if you continue to sin willfully after knowing right from wrong, there's no sacrifice for that sin. And I added this part. Go ahead on. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord is simply saying. It is not going to be tolerated through the Word of God. Amen? So, don't leave Jesus. You'll go back into bondage. When you leave Jesus, you walk right back into the hands of the devil. Let's go over to Matthew 6:24. Let me show you something and make sure we understand. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. But I want us to see where we cannot worship God and the devil at the same time. You already know that, but I'm going to show it to you in the Scripture. God's beautiful word says, no one can serve two. He'll hate the one or else he'll be loyal to the one. The Bible says, despise the other. Finish it up with me. You cannot serve God and mammon. It can't be done. So let's make sure that we're not just leaving Jesus locked up. Let's make sure that we're not just leaving Jesus where we needed him last. That he is always with us. When you leave Jesus, you walk back into the hands of the devil. You can think about those that have done that in the past, leaving Jesus and walking back into the hands of Satan himself. Anybody in this congregation ever heard of a guy named Judas Iscariot? Judas Iscariot was a follower of Jesus. He was one that even proclaimed to be a friend of Jesus, yet he sold him out for the riches of the world, didn't he? How many pieces of silver? Thank you, Heather. 30 pieces of silver sold him out. After that, we know that when Judas had walked away from Jesus and he left Jesus behind, his life began to spiral pretty quick, didn't it, Darlene? And how did he end up? I'm sorry? That's right. He ended up dead. How? What was his cause of death? Suicide. Why? Because the remorse for him was too much to bear, wasn't it? He couldn't handle the fact that he had turned away from Jesus Christ. But instead of going back to the Lord, instead of going to Jesus and saying, hey, I'm sorry, I want to repent of this sin, he didn't. He went out and he hanged himself and he died. How many people today are hanging themselves and don't even realize it? How many people, by the lifestyle that you live, by the things that we say, by the things that we do, by the way we act, by the way we react, how many of us are leaving Jesus a little at a time? How many of us are hanging ourselves from the same tree that Judas did? We need to be certain, brothers and sisters, just as a bold reminder to myself and to you, don't leave Jesus. Don't leave him behind. Don't leave him tied up in the church building. Don't leave him tied up in the closet at home. Don't leave him tied up in the passenger seat of the car. Jesus should be with us everywhere and all the time. Amen? All right. So I want to make sure that we're cool on that. That's what the Bible says. I want to remind you that sin is extremely tricky. Sin will trick people into thinking they can go on forever and ever without any consequences. Sin wants you to think that it's okay as long as it makes you feel good. That's what sin wants you to believe. If it's not hurting anybody else, well, you need to understand it is hurting others. We're going to check on that here in just a moment. Sadly, when people go back into the world, those trapped in their attitudes, if I may, because they feel like it's okay to do that, and they're now enslaved to sin. Romans chapter 6, 20 and 21 talks about that. When we are enslaved to sin, you know, that means the devil has become our master, doesn't it? When we are walking in the righteousness of God, that means that Jesus is our master. You can look over at John 8, 31 through 34 and get you a good reading on that. I can't help but to think about this passage of Scripture in putting this lesson together. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, down in verse 46, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, which means Master, Master? Why do you call me your Master, he said it twice, Lord, Lord, and then not do the things which I'm commanding you to do? It's just a simple question. Well, I believe that question, we could really, really talk about that a great deal. I wonder how many of us call Jesus our master. I wonder how many of us call Jesus our Lord and we love him and we worship him and we trust him on Sunday morning, on Sunday night or Wednesday night. How often is Jesus with us when we're walking down the halls at our place of employment? How often is Jesus with us when we're facing a crisis on our job? Or we're having a marital issue, or we're having children rebelling issue, or we're having financial issues, or we're having a setback because we just lost our job, or maybe a vehicle got repossessed, or your house burned, whatever the situation is, where is Jesus in that? Are y'all following me? Make sure that we're not leaving Jesus behind. It's not hard to understand. You're either with God or you're with the devil. If you are with God, but you now turn back into the world, let me just tell you, you're back with the devil. He's excited about it. You do have a cheerleader. Let me be very clear about that. If you are with the devil today, you got a lot of people that love you. Do you realize that? Extortioners, adulterers, fornicators, drunks. You got all of those murderers. Y'all following what I'm saying? You got a lot of people that's going to welcome you to the gates of hell. But I don't choose that. We'll not choose. Because I know the horrors of hell. I know about that. I've read about the horrors of hell, and I believe it. Do you believe it? But I've also, Teresa, read about the beauty of heaven and the peace of heaven and the hope of heaven and that we will all be around the throne of God worshiping him. And no sickness, no war, no death, no separation, nothing but love for our Heavenly Father and feeling his love for us forever and ever and ever. Amen. I do not want to leave Jesus. I encourage you today, do not leave Jesus behind. Been a lot of people, sadly, that have done just that, that they've left Jesus. They just still love the world. And I guess they love the world more than they love the Father. You tell them that to their face, they get ticked off, they get mad, and I don't like the preacher there, and I don't like those people down there. They're rude. They told me I was going to hell. No, we didn't. The Bible told you you're going to hell. We just read what the Scripture says. You turn against Jesus, you're going to hell. Do you realize it? Only three people shook their head. If you turn against the Lord, do you know you're going to hell? If you fail to repent, I'm not going to make that soft for you today. I'm not going to do that because I want you to understand how serious this is. Your salvation and my salvation depends upon our love and our faithfulness to Almighty God. So let's make sure that we're doing it right and that we're sharing God and we're sharing Him with all that we possibly can. Luke 9:23, Jesus told His disciples, He said, if anyone desires to come after me, He says, you got to deny yourself. And then what, Heather? That's right. Take up your cross how often? That's right. And then what's He say, Jerry? That's right. He says, follow me. He didn't say, follow me today, Tony, and then wait 2 weeks and then come back again. He said, follow me now, didn't He? And continue on a daily basis. Matthew 16:24-26 talks about it. We can also think about, while we're in the book of Matthew, head over to Matthew 19. Let me show you something else. I want to show you where the rich young ruler, very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew 19:16-22. And let's look at how he left Jesus. Is that okay with everybody? All right. Matthew 19:16-22. The Bible says, now behold, one came and said to Him, He's talking to Jesus. He said, good teacher, what good thing, watch this, shall I do that I may have eternal life? Sounds like a pretty simple question, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Okay. And He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that's God. But if you want to enter into eternal life, He gave him three words. He said, keep the commandments. Absolutely, Teresa. Keep the commandments. And He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to them, talking to the Lord, says, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Watch this. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and, here's the key to it all, follow me. Watch this. But when the young man, this guy that was very wealthy, who was in love with his riches also, Chris, watch this. But when the young man heard that saying, he went, give me the next word, away. He went away, which means he left the presence of who? Very good. He left Jesus' presence. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's a guy, excuse me, who had been keeping the commandments of the Lord for how long? How long? A long time. Thank you. He said, even from my youth. I've been keeping these since I was a young dude. I'm doing all right. Am I all right then? And the Lord said, no, you're still in love, but you're not in love with me. You're in love with your riches. So you're going to have to get rid of those things because they become a stumbling block for you. And just take it up. Let's go. Get rid of that stuff. Give to the poor. Help your brothers and sisters. Come and follow me. Is that what Jesus is simply saying to him? But the Bible says that he went away sorrowfully. He went away saddened. He went away, tore up on the floor up because he had this great possession. He wasn't willing to let it go for Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let's let it all go for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's make sure that he is absolutely first and foremost in our life. Not a mama, daddy, brother, sister, son, daughter, niece, nephew, nobody. It's God and it's you. Amen. And then you have the responsibility of providing and helping those that are about us. Don't you dare leave Jesus. Don't do it. Don't leave him for this feel-good religion that's out there today. Don't leave him for entertainment. That's going rampant right now through the church. Did you know that? People that are just craving entertainment. Oh, we got there and that singing made me feel so good. Now, kind of missed the mark again. It's not about making us feel good. It's about our worship to God. Amen? When I got out there, boy, that preacher, she sure did a good job. She's one of the best preachers I've ever heard. Really? Huh. Why were you in a women's Bible class? Why is this lady conducting the service? The Bible's against that, isn't it? Is the Bible against that? Okay, so when we're engaged in these denominational ideas, that's not right. We were leaving Jesus. If we leave the truth of what the Bible says, we're leaving Jesus, aren't we? I can take this Bible, brothers and sisters, and I can make it mean anything that I want it to mean, but that means that I'm pulling out of context, doesn't it? That means I'm trying to mold this into convincing you about something totally different. It goes against the will of God. I don't have that luxury. I don't have that power. Thank God. Because I don't ever want to be charged from the Lord of adding to or taking away from His Word. Because the plagues that are written in that book will be added to you. Listen, we got to get away from this entertainment stuff. Church is not, let me re-clean that up a little bit. Church gathering is not about entertainment. Do you understand? It's not about how good the song leader is or isn't. It's not about how long the preacher preaches or doesn't. It's not about that. What matters is what that preacher's preaching, amen, and the fact that we are singing and making melody in our, to the, all right, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, doing what Jesus is calling us to do. Brothers and sisters, let it, we've got to be careful. I can watch some of those congregations that have the musical instruments. I can watch some of those, and to be honest with you, I had to be very careful because I was moved by it. Like, wow, look at that, that's beautiful. But if it's not conducive with what the Scripture says, I'm not going to touch it. Amen? If it's not what the Bible talks about and allows as a worship service, I'm not going to touch it. Now, go get in my vehicle right now. It's on 97.1. Go to any radio station in our house, it's on gospel music every single time. I've loved gospel music. And I'll sing along with it. I'll hear the musical instruments with it. And I have no problem with it because that's not worship. Amen? This is our worship service. And nowhere in the Scriptures, darling, does it allow you and me to bring those and add those into our worship service. If it did, we'd do it. But it doesn't, so we ain't gonna. How's that? All right? I got some people frowning. Good. All right. So don't leave Jesus by going against His Word. If you believe that and you're all right with that, say amen. Here's why. Matthew 25, verse 46, these are going to go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Who? Those that add to my word. Those that take away. Those that lock me up in the church building. Those that leave me in front of the judges and the magistrates. Those that leave me at the doctor's office, those that leave me at the place of employment. Y'all getting the picture? So many of us will carry Jesus when we need Him. And then when we don't need Him right there on the spot, we put Him to the side. That's how crazy we are. We ought to realize and know that we need Jesus every single day, every second of the day, shouldn't we? Don't we? Dana, you with me? All right. Let me get to this next point. Understand this. When one, now remember your first one. If you leave Jesus, you go back into bondage. We all in a full agreement? Second one is this. When we leave Jesus, you forfeit your salvation. If you leave Jesus and you go back into the world, you're forfeiting. You're giving it up. You're giving your salvation back to the Lord. When one leaves Jesus, leaving Christ by forsaking the assembly, by failing to study to show ourselves approved unto God, by failing to fellowship with others and encourage others of the household of faith, by failing to live according to the Scriptures, by failing to worship God in spirit and truth, John 4:24, we forfeit our salvation. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, down in verse 38, the Scripture states very clearly, to repent, is that what the Bible says? Repent and be baptized for what reason? That's right, Harvey. And he said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the very first part of that gift that you're receiving is there has to be something that you have to do something, so do I. It's called repentance. So when we repent and we're baptized, we receive that gift from God. It's the Holy Spirit. Is that right? But if we leave Jesus and we go back into the world, that means that our repentance is now stopped. Is that right? So if your repentance is stopped, guess what? You think the Holy Spirit's still going to be indwelling in your heart? Do you think that God's still going to? No. Because Jesus didn't turn His back on you. You turned your back on Him. Do you know the number of people that walked in here? It's ridiculous. The number of people that walked down those steps and were baptized and lived the worst life after their baptism than they ever did before it. Do you know the people that I'm talking about? I got them in my own family. I know friends. I got people in this congregation that's no longer here that walked up the aisles with tears in their eyes, and I sit right there in that spot beside them, calling Jerry Jr. up. He baptized them, et cetera, et cetera. Met them in baptism. hugging and loving and excited because of their new relationship with God, thrilled to be where they are right now. And then in no time flat, where is he? Where is she? Where are they? Are you following me? I'll tell you where they're at. Sad, they're in bondage because they left their first love. They did exactly what the church at Ephesus did. They walked back into the world. Satan had a much stronger hold on them than what they thought. We warn them. We try to teach them. I've never baptized a person, or I've never watched Jerry baptize one of me say, your life's going to be great from here on out. I guarantee you, every one of you that's been here, since I've been here, I've always warned everybody, the devil's out to get you. Tony, how clear was that when I told you? I said, the devil's going to be out to get you. He is ticked off right now. God is happy. Jesus is happy. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. But Satan is ticked off, isn't he? Because another soul was just robbed from Satan and given to God. The problem is, so many people, sadly, are baptized perhaps for the wrong reason. Maybe it was mom that told them to. Maybe it was dad that said you should. Maybe they thought that would resolve all their problems. Maybe it was a court injunction. Do that, show that you're doing better, and we'll let you slide. No, you don't use my Jesus like that. Are you following me? What we're doing, we're baptized for forgiveness of our sins. This is nothing to come here for entertainment. If you leave out of here and you're aggravated because I preached the word of God to you, then you need to shake my hand on the way out of the building and tell me. Amen? If you leave out here and you're ticked off and I'm just going to go somewhere else because that preacher has no bedside manner, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me that opportunity. I didn't come here looking for a date. I didn't come here looking to make a friend. I come here to tell you how serious it is to walk away from our Jesus Christ. I come here today to tell you that if me or you walk away from Jesus, we're in sin's bondage and we're going to hell if we don't get it straightened out. We got to correct it, brothers and sisters. If you're not guilty of it, I'm not guilty of it, we know somebody that is. Amen? Let's do all that we can to bring them back to Jesus Christ. Because listen to me, you forfeit your salvation if you're not taking your relationship with God very serious. The Bible makes that very clear. What if that repentance in your life has now ceased? Your faithfulness has now stopped. You're no longer following Christ or holding to his teachings. You have walked away from your hope of salvation, if that's the case. I have to think about a couple passages of Scripture. I've already gave you one, Hebrews 10:26. And then we can think about 2 Peter 2:12-22. The Bible talks about how people will turn away even after knowing right from wrong. And the last part of that passage of Scripture says it's like a dog returning to his own what? Vomit. That's pretty graphic, isn't it? A dog returning to his vomit. And that's what it is. When we go back into the world, when we go back into holding hands with the devil, after we are engaged and in a solid relationship, when we become the bride of Christ, brothers and sisters, that's what it's compared to. Don't leave Jesus. Don't forsake your salvation. The third and final point, we're going to close. When you leave Jesus, you need to understand this, you create a stumbling block for others. Have you ever heard the minister, preacher here, Jerry T. Ladd, that real good-looking guy that's always up here every Sunday? Have you ever heard me say at the closing, we are indeed? Evidently, you heard that. So it's very important that we do not create stumbling blocks for other people, right? So if we walk away from Jesus and we leave Jesus, I promise you it's creating a stumbling block for others. When a Christian walks away from living for Jesus Christ, when one walks away from the righteous living, when one walks away no longer holding to the teachings of the Bible, you just created a stumbling block for others that's watching your life. For the mom, the dad, the grandmother, the grandfather, the uncle, the aunt, et cetera, you need to be very, very, very careful. The school teacher, the Bible class teacher, whoever it is, we've got to be very, very careful. Rest assured, Jerry, somebody's watching your life. It may be Wesley. It may be her. It may be Chris. It may be Georgia. Somebody, seriously speaking, is watching our life. Do you agree with that? And most of the time, the one that's watching our life, we may not even be aware of it. That's why Jesus said what he did in Matthew 5:16. He says, that they may see you're glorifying your, very good. And then when one sees Jesus walking away from Jesus Christ, it blows that testimony, doesn't it? You remember, I brought it up last week as well. Those on the outside looking in, look how confused they would be about what's going on in our church today. People on the outside of the body of Christ visiting and looking at the lives of those on the inside of the body of Christ. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it could be very confusing and disturbing, couldn't it? But it doesn't have to be that way. We know that we never want to create a stumbling block for others. When one sees us loving God, when one sees us keeping God's commandments, John 14:15, they witness someone that has found life and found true life. They found life eternal with God in the heavenly host. But when they witness someone that has now forsaken his walk with and for Christ Jesus, they witness one that has fallen away from the Lord, fallen away from grace. Matthew 28:18-20 says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Drop on down. Then he says, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And he says, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of age. When we fail to do just that, we are creating stumbling blocks for others. When one leaves Jesus, not only are you enslaving your own soul to hell, but you're enslaving another soul to hell. You're creating confusion and division. This morning, please know that there are so many people that you and I both know that leave Jesus, and they may not even be aware of their own manner of life. Some leave Jesus just a little bit at a time, because Jesus, listen to me, never gets to leave the building that you locked him up in at the last time we met here. Some leave Jesus because the world and its attractions have such a tight pull on them. Listen, we use some of the most flimsy excuses. We really do. Use some of those flimsy excuses why we neglect so great our salvation. Some leave church because someone in the church ticked them off. Somebody in church just wasn't as friendly as they was. Someone in the church aggravated them. Here's what I've never understood, and I have actually talked, this isn't something I was wondering, I've actually talked to people that have left the church, and they said, well, the preacher, he was rough, he was real hard on us, the people there just wasn't friendly. Yet, on their place of employment, their boss talks to them any way that he or she wants to, and some of their co-workers are some of the roughest people you'd be around, and yet they're there every single day. We had someone that called us last week and said, well, sorry I couldn't get to church today. I overslept. Never, ever in my life have I understood that one. So one question gets asked. How many days of work did you miss last week? None. Over the last 30 to 45 days, how many days of employment did you miss? Well, none. Why? So you didn't oversleep on any of those days where you're making the greenbacks, but you overslept on the day that you come to serve Jesus Christ. I'll leave that with you. Amen? Don't leave Jesus behind. We have a responsibility to each other, to help each other, and to encourage each other. I realize, and I stand before you and tell you, I know I don't have the best bedside manner. I don't claim to. But I do love you as a brother or sister in Christ. If I see you, and I think for one moment that you're leaving Jesus, I'm going to say something to you. If you see me leaving Jesus because I may not be aware of it, love me enough that you say something to me. Amen? Thank you, Tony. Amen? Whew, that showed me a lot of love. One person spoke. All right, Jerry, that was Tony. I'm going to get you a new hat for Christmas. We have a responsibility to help each other and to love each other and to get through this. This world's tough, but my God is tougher, isn't he? This world is strong and powerful, but my God is more powerful. I don't have to worry about these things. Only thing I need to do is march toward the mark of righteousness, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, become one. Hear his word, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Live a faithful life from this moment on. Always remember that we are indeed, if you're a Christian, you realize, you know what, I've just been horsing around. I've not been doing the right thing. I need the prayers of the congregation. Let us know. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. We're not going to judge you. We're not your judge. We're just your brother and sister. We'll help you any way that we can. If you need anything, come now.